people. I'm Lynn Griffin, the creator of The Halfway Port, a science fiction, outworldly steampunk novel. A mother and a group of teens from Earth get tangled in the threads of another planet. On that planet, airships rule the sky and technology has evolved by other means. Day-to-day devices run on steam and biotechnology has advanced to help a declining population known as the Dariel control genetically programmed servants cloned from their own flesh. Anyway, come check it out at www.lynngriffin.com. Catch you later. Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me the lovely Hanako.
Hey, girl. What's up?
Oh, nothing much. Now, I just received a text from you demanding, strongly suggesting that I watch the Avengers trailer. I knew it was coming out, you know, but I hadn't seen a link that was convenient. So I sought it out, went on Huffington Post website. I'm so glad you made me watch that thing.
Oh my God, it's awesome. Like, I'm over here shaking, like, you know, shaking my hands like, oh my God, when is it coming out? You know, just, yeah, it looks really good. And the Hulk at the end.
Yeah, that's that guy. Who's that guy? I forget his name, but that's that guy. You see him in everything.
You know, and that's the funny thing, because I said that too. I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't look like, who did the Hulk before? Was it Ed Norton?
Yeah, Ed Norton.
And Eric Bana.
Yeah. So this is a totally different guy.
Yeah, but it looks good. It looks better than the previous films I had seen as far as, you know, Hulk's transformation and everything.
Yeah, I'm not a Hulk fan, but we'll see what happens, because it's not going to be all about the Hulk. It's going to be about, you know, everybody else and a rubber kitchen sink, you know. So it's I am in love with all of those guys. They all look hot. They all look sexy.
They really do.
Goodness. Like,
There's just, yeah, all that eye candy and tight costume.
Yeah, I don't think they're making superhero movies for men anymore. I think that's for us, Hanako.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Scarlett Johansson was looking kind of hot in her suit, too. So, you know, the guy. A little something too, but
they only have the one chick. We have multiple men to drool over.
That is true.
Thor with his that's all he did in the trailer was
that's all he has to do.
I was like,
they'll wait till the movie comes out to get technical, but okay, let's look at it right now. All he has to do is stand there and look pretty.
That's all he really has.
And menacing with that hammer.
The hammer.
Loki looked evil.
Who?
Loki.
Oh, yeah. He didn't look as wimpy and frail. I mean, he might make a form of a bad guy, so.
He looked like a man with a purpose.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he looked badass in the trailer, which is good, because he didn't, you know, I guess, you know, since he's, you know, got his ass whooped in the Thor movie, you know. You know, like, okay, time to man up, time to go do some damage, and he's doing it pretty brilliantly, looks like.
I hope so. I just can't wait to see what Tony Stark does. He's already talking crap. You got Captain America being all, you know, Captain America all stuck up.
Yeah. Or
not stuck up, that's wrong. Do not email me about that, Charles. And you know, those dudes, they're vicious. They'll get on you for talking about Captain America. Anyway. But he, you know, he was like, you, what do you do? You just have a suit and blah, blah. And he was like, man, you know, why are you riffing on?
What was his response? I'm a billionaire playboy. Oh, I'm a genius billionaire playboy philanthropist. Yeah. You know, classic.
What else do you need to be? Now, I don't know why they went with Nine Inch Nails. We're in this together from the Fragile album way back in 1999. It worked, but it's like
it worked.
that's an old song. I'm not sure why you choose it. I'm glad. I love that song, but
it worked.
Yeah,
it's just, I was listening to it. I was like, hey, I know this song.
No, it's like, okay, we're
like, usually going, you hear new stuff, and it's like, okay, yeah,
we're going to 1999. Yeah. All right, let's do it. So maybe we're shooting in 1999. Maybe we're, you know, having a period piece for the end of the what? Who knows? But this Avengers thing, I'm so excited for it. Now I'm overly excited, so my expectations are high. So I'm gonna have to calm that down a little bit.
Yeah, I think we need to bring it down a notch just in case. But I mean, the movies that they've done have all delivered, except for what? No, actually, Iron Man did deliver. Captain America delivered. Thor delivered. Who else is there? We won't go into the Hulk. That will be the...
Yeah, because we have brand new Hulk. So.
Yeah. But all the individual movies deliver. So this one, I'm pretty sure this one will deliver too.
Mm. Even Samuel L. Jackson was looking good. Because usually, I don't know, he's looking a little tired there for a minute. And now he just looked like, A-game, bringing it. So
yeah. So it's gonna be an interesting movie. I'll be glad for it to finally hit theaters, and I think that is one I will probably go do in 3D.
3D.
You know, imagine all the explosives.
I know, but I did that Transformers in 3D, and it wasn't 3D. You know, created for 3D like Avatar, it was converted. And so it made the movie busy, and I enjoyed it less. But when I saw it without the 3D, the second time I enjoyed it more. I'm on the fence about the 3D. It's a good idea. I'm on the fence, though, because that's something to think about.
Yeah, I think it only works probably with certain movies. Like, I haven't gone to see a 3D movie.
Did you see any of the Harry Potters in 3D?
I saw the 5th and 6th movies in 3D. They didn't convert the first part of 7 into a 3D. They did for the second one, but I have not seen it in 3D yet. And I think I've got to check. It's at my Dollar Theater now, because, you know, it usually goes to Dollar Theater before it comes out on DVD, and it comes out on DVD next month. Mm. So I got to check to see whether or not it's actually in 3D, because if it is, I can go spend my $2 to go see it in 3D. I think I spent that much in between my couch.
Couch, girl.
this whole unemployment thing is like really it's screwing with my fangirl stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
It messes with your mind a little bit.
I can't do what I want to do, and it's making me mad and desperate. But you know,
Yeah,
but I think I can scrape up a couple of dollars to go to the Dollar Theater and see it. So, I may do that. But other than that, I think I can't even remember the last movie I saw in 3D. It might have been The Watchmen.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's been a while. And The Watchmen was beautiful in 3D. It really was. But it's been a while. I don't find the need to. No, you know what? It was Alice in Wonderland.
Okay, now that I can see for being for 3D, that looks like it would be made for 3D.
It kind of was, but I guess kind of in the same way you said for Transformers, it kind of messed with my eyes a little bit. So like, okay, I think I like it better without the 3D, because I've seen it on cable since then, and without the 3D, it was fine. So I think for me, you know, action films, lots of explosives, that kind of thing, I like in 3D, but just regular, you know, no.
All right.
No. The Avengers, Avengers, lots of fighting, lots of flying through the air, lots of explosives. Yes, I think I will do that in 3D.
That I could taste the popcorn in my mouth. I was like, I can't wait.
In 3D. The muscles in 3D. Those abs. Yes. I think I will do that in 3D.
Okay. I'm going to stop my growling, and we're going to move to more growling with Vampire Diaries.
Yes.
Oh, man.
We talk about this show. Vampire Diaries is slowly taking over the favorite. It's like really moving up in my favorite shows. You know, it's always been one of my favorites, but it's just, Oh, where do we even begin? Oh my,
let's start with Hybrid. Who is he? What's his name? Jeff or something?
Klaus.
Klaus, okay. Because he was, is it Jack Klaus? Because I know Klaus is the last name anyway. Or I don't know. I forgot.
But Nick. I think Nick is the first.
Nicholas Klaus, right. Mm-hmm. Sexy. He's Chris Hemsworth sexy. Thor sexy. He is just his face and everything about whatever he's doing. I'm all for it. I'm a fan of whatever he has going on.
Yeah, he's kind of competing with Damon for that, you know, I'm a badass, I'm a dick type of character. Because it's like, you don't know whether to like him or hate him.
But oh, yeah.
It works. I mean, and it's just what they've done with this season as far as bringing out the background of him and Stefan. It's just, that threw me for a loop. That was something I did not expect. But I love it because it adds a different layer to Stefan now. I think, you know, we've been you know, seeing a little bit darker Stefan, more evil Stefan. You know, Stefan the Ripper, you know, has been it's been interesting to watch that transition.
But have we really seen him? Because we haven't seen him lose control. We know for a fact that he still loves Elena. We haven't seen him become a totally different person. And I think that's what Angel did, that really, he just completely left over Angel and became Angelus. And there was no trace of Angel. They had to really pull it out. But we know right now, Stefan is killing people, but he still has that little thing. He's not totally evil. But like, I mean,
he's not totally evil, but still, you have to say ripping young women apart, that's not a nice guy type of thing. I mean,
that's true.
Damon and Rick walked into that house and Damon touched that chick's head and it just rolled to the floor. I was like, oh.
But he had to be convincing. He had to be convincing. So I don't think his heart is into it. He did it because that's what Klaus expected him to do. And if Klaus, he went over the top with killing these people, because he know if he didn't, that Klaus was going to figure out that he wasn't, you know, he wasn't true.
And then, well, he killed Andy.
What'd you say?
He killed Andy. Damon.
Yeah, I know. See, that's where my whole thing falls apart when you say that.
I mean, and he did that without, it's like he didn't even bat an eyelash. He was just like, okay, Andy, you can move now. And it was like, I'm sitting here looking at the screen like, he is not really going to let her die. And plop, there she is on the floor. You know, and it's,
I don't understand why Damon didn't save her.
I think probably because, you know, and it's funny, you know, I watched Friday's episode today and Damon kept talking about how people underestimated him. I think he really underestimated Stefan. I don't think he thought Stefan would really do it. I really don't think he thought Stefan would do it.
And now that he has, it's like water under the bridge. Chick is dead. Is this revenge for what? Is the Lacey the vampire? What was her name?
Lexi.
So, I mean, yeah. Like, what's going on here? I don't, and it's like, you know, Stefan is going through the motions of doing all this evil stuff. And he has done, like you said, with the decapitated women and Andy. But I don't know. It's just still, he wants to go home.
I think that I don't even think it's about him wanting to go home. I think it's about keeping Elena alive at whatever cost. And it's like, okay, if I have to kill 1,000 people just to keep her alive, that's what I'm going to do it. So right. In some ways, yes, we still have the same old Stefan, but, you know, at the same time, he's being more of what he used to be, and he's not thinking about it because he's only focused on that.
You hit it, you know, right on the nail. You hit it right on the nail right there. That's it right there. He will tear the whole world apart just to keep her alive. And that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, it's kind of like I don't have to be with her. I don't have to, you know, because if he's not with her, of course, he's always said that she was the one that kind of kept him the way that he was, as far as not being, you know, wanting to be normal or wanting to be something different from what he was. And now that he doesn't have her in his life, I think he's just kind of letting go of that. But all at the same time, he's trying to find a way to get back to that life. And the only way he can do that right now is to follow Klaus and see what's going on. You know, he touched upon this. You know, this is the first time I've ever heard them talk about vampire hunters.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm pretty sure things are going to get a little bit more interesting this season as far as whoever this Michael person is that's supposed to be hunting Klaus and Rebecca.
Yeah, didn't he just come from Supernatural, like cross sets and... was he on Heroes or something? I don't know.
I don't know, but you know, it'll be interesting to see, especially considering, you know, Klaus is traveling with all of those coffins for a reason. They're not doing that for show. At some point, we're gonna get a look at all of the originals, I think. You know, I fully expect Elisha to make a reappearance, you know, probably at a moment when Klaus needs his full original family, army, whatever you want to call it. So
that's so bizarre for him to have staked them, but you know, keeping them and holding them around. Like, yeah, they are going to come into play, but are they going to come into play and fall on his side? Because his sister is on his side now, but you never know what she's going to do, because he did in fact stake her. I don't know about that. Like you mentioned earlier about the backstory with Damon, it totally fits. It doesn't feel like it's hacked into it. It totally feels like part of the landscape with Damon. So, I mean, Stefan, so it's it really fits, and it's woven into the story in such a great way that it was just interesting to watch, and it took Vampire Diaries up a notch for me.
Yeah.
So.
And then, of course, now on the flip side of that, now Elena is kind of admitting that she has feelings for Damon. So that's going to make things a lot more interesting.
It was pulled out of her. I mean, Caroline really just, I don't know, it feels forced. It feels like she's trying to be make Damon a stand-in.
Yeah, it does feel, it does seem like that, like she's trying to bring out the good in him so I guess in a way I look at it as she's trying to make him the good part of Damon, or, you know, the way he was before Stefan turned him into a monster, because we have to remember that Stefan was originally the dick as far as, you know, the brothers go. You know, he was the one who turned Damon into what he is. So, you know, her trying to get Damon back to that original, whatever, you know, however he was. I think in some way she's trying to do that so she doesn't have to feel guilty about having feelings for him. But I think she has feelings for him regardless, which is, you know, kind of what she said to Caroline, as far as, you know, she's like, you know, I can't admit that. What would that say about me? And Caroline is like, it says you're human. You know, nobody says all good girls fall in love with good guys or, you know, whatever. And even though Damon is, you know, just impossible at times, you know, she still cares about him. And she feels like there's something wrong with that. Like, okay, he's been killing people left and right. He killed, you know, for all intents and purposes, he killed my brother. He killed Rick. He, you know, just all these things. And it's like she still has feelings for him. So I think she's just trying to lessen her guilt about it, but I think her feelings for him are genuine.
But I think they're genuine too. I think they're genuine too. And another part to add to what you're saying is that I think that she's also feeling guilt because she's in love with his brother as well. So she loves them both. This is a Eric Northman, Bill Compton, Sookie situation. So, I don't know. Is she going to break up with both of them and go her separate ways like Sookie did, or what's going to happen?
I think eventually that relationship with Stefan will work itself out. That's honestly what I think, because at the end of the day, she's doing all of this for him.
Yeah.
You know, everything that's been going on has been about those two. So I think at the end of the day, she's going to end up with Stefan anyway. Now, she may have her fun with Damon, or she may find herself in a couple of, uncompromising situations with Damon. But as far as letting it go any further and jeopardizing what she has with Stefan, no. Because I think if that happens, that will be the last thing to make Stefan snap and really not, really go dark side. So
that'll be interesting.
I don't know. I don't see that happening.
But it would be more interesting for me to watch because it would be so not teeny bop, you know.
But I don't know. We got some other interesting stuff to watch. I am loving this whole Tyler and Caroline dynamic.
Ooh, yes.
I love it.
Yeah, and I love that they brought in HRG from Heroes to be her dad, because that's a good-looking man, and I love him a lot.
Yeah, it's so easy to hate him right now.
Yeah, I can't hate him because I'm just still in love with him.
Daughter. Oh.
He thought he was doing the right thing. It was love in his heart.
Whatever, but I will say this. We got a good fight scene out of that. Caroline kicked Damon's ass, and it was so much fun.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It was so much fun to watch. He was like, I'm stronger than you. She said, but I'm more pissed off.
That was a good fight scene.
It was great. It was great. And it's really, 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 really good to see Caroline go from whiny, human, it's all about me, Caroline, to badass vampire Caroline. I love her.
Yeah.
I love her character on the show now. She, her character has grown so much. And it's really interesting to watch the transformation. And then again, like I said, the whole Tyler and Caroline dynamic.
Yeah, they get some hot, steamy scenes.
Hot. Yes. It's like they really work well together. And it's just, like her. Him so much better than I like her with Matt. And I'm sorry, Matt is just one of those characters for me. He needs to grow some balls.
Or die.
He needs to prepare.
Because he's not doing anything. And he smells like death right now because he's not doing anything. He's moping around.
All he's doing is whining. First he was mopey because he couldn't have Elena. And then, Caroline was just, fun for him, and then all of a sudden he loves her, and then he finds out what she is, and now he can't cope, and Jeremy's trying to get him to connect with his sister, and he can't do that either, and it's just like, okay, you know what, just do something other than work at the grill and complain all the time, and your self-righteous high horse, can we get one interesting human on the show? Although I will say Sheriff Forbes has moved up a notch in my book.
Yeah, she has. She still has ugly hair, but I love her a lot more now. I hate it.
I don't think that hair is going to change, but
I need to write a letter.
She has stepped up a notch in my book, and Carol Lockwood, she herself has proved that she's got a little bit more backbone than I thought as well. So the characters are they're really coming out kind of strong. We've only had one episode with Bonnie, so I'm waiting to see what they're going to do with her. But it's just kind of like, okay, we've seen all these other witches and, how powerful they can be or whatever. That Gloria, before she bit the dust, she was kind of good, too.
I wanted her to stick around because I loved her hair. I just love that character. And then all of a sudden, she's dead because of Catherine. And I'm ready for Catherine to die. Sick of Catherine.
Yeah, but, Catherine always does show up at the right time because Gloria got everything from Stefan.
Yeah,
I'll never tell you anything. She was like, you don't have to.
Yeah, she sure did. She was like, baby, you don't.
She was like, do you not know who I am?
I have awesome hair. Leave me alone.
Yeah, but the characters are coming out fairly, strong in this one, and still waiting to see what's going on with the whole Vicky, Anna, Jeremy thing.
Yeah, so what do you think that is? What is that? Because I don't understand what it
could be. I guess since he crossed over for a bit, he kind of, I guess he's a little bit of a medium now where he has access to that world. I would say, but like Anna was telling him, he has to be open to it. And you saw when he closed Anna off, how she just kind of, you know, he couldn't see her anymore. And he started telling Bonnie about that, which I'm glad of. I was like, okay, can we please have like one relationship that actually does deal with honesty? So he did do that, but I honestly don't know what this whole darkness is. I don't know what Vicky is trying to do, or if it is that she's trying to do anything, or maybe Anna was just, I don't know. I always felt like Anna's feelings for Jeremy were more genuine than Vicky's, because Vicky was pretty much all about her and having a good time and scoring some drugs and sleeping around. So, you know, I never got that she really cared about Jeremy. So I think Jeremy cared about her more than she did about him. And I think she's trying to use that to, I don't know, come back, have a connection with him, whatever. But I think Anna's was genuine, which is why we've seen her more. But I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait a couple more episodes to find out exactly what's going on that front, especially since now Bonnie knows what's going on. So I don't know how that's going to affect Anna's appearances, whether we'll still see her or not, because Jeremy is basically trying to say, okay, you know what? You're dead. I have a girlfriend who's living. I need to, please don't be the guy that falls in love, you know, that tries to have a relationship with the ghost girlfriend. That's just,
that's going to bore me.
That's something I don't want to see with Vampire Diaries. So,
I think, I don't know what is going to go there, but I know something's going to happen. Somebody's going to die. I'm not really sure. I do like the way that Alaric has stepped up though, because we're talking about characters that have stepped up, because he was just like bumming around, sleeping on a sofa, stuff like that. And now he's demanding to, you know, speak with the council and all this other type of stuff. So I'm glad he stepped it up, because, you know, I really thought, you know, he's a useless character, so he's going to die. You know, like Matt.
Yeah, but now, and his argument was good. He was, you know, speaking to them. He said, your daughter's a vampire, your son's a werewolf. Who's looking out for us?
That's true.
And he had a valid point that, you know, except for the other nameless faces that we saw at the council meeting in the last episode, we really don't know of anybody else, you know. And like he said, now those two women have their own interests to protect. You know, and regardless, they've been in this council for years. Their families have been in it for centuries. And, you know, their goal is to protect the humans. But now, since they both do have supernatural children, it's like, okay, if you had to choose between them or the humans, who would you choose? These are their children. They're going to protect their children. So someone does need to be on that to make sure things are, you know, to make sure that things go right, which means that soon something will go really, really wrong. But, you know, hey, keeps the show interesting.
Yeah, it does. So, what do you think about the sister, the new Klaus's sister?
I think she's going to be a problem.
You think?
I think she's going to be a problem, because it's going to be that whole, you know, you still love this girl, even though, you know, as far as she knows, you know, this girl is dead. But she knows that Stefan doesn't want to be with her anymore. And I, you know, she's been in a box for 90 years. So she, in her mind, she and Stefan are still in love. So I think it's going to cause a problem. Just like, you know, just like it did towards the end, when she told Klaus, okay, you know, he's asking questions he shouldn't be asking. He wants to know about the vampire hunter. And Klaus is like, okay, you're hiding something from us. Let's go back to Mystic Falls. So now it's going to get really interesting, because now Stefan is going to have to make sure that Klaus doesn't realize that Elena is alive.
Well, I don't think that's going to last for, it might take two episodes for him to figure it out, but he's going to figure it out quick and hell is going to break loose.
Yeah. So I wonder what Stefan did with the body of the witch, that, you know, to the point that Klaus I mean, and Klaus just dismissed her. He was like, Gloria's gone, you know, Gloria's gone. She, you know, she bailed. I guess Stefan did a good job of cleaning up. I guess all her stuff was gone, too.
I guess. So
he made it look like she actually fled. But, yeah, I'm kind of wondering, what do you do with a witch's body when you kill him?
Maybe they burn
in their own restaurant.
I don't know. Who knows? But she did live for a long time, and it was just sad to see her go. I was hoping she'd, like, hook up with Bonnie and, you know, do something. Well, maybe she's part of Bonnie now. You never know, because they had a connection with the little amulet, so maybe. You never know.
That's true.
It's a stretch, but yeah.
We'll see how far Bonnie's witchy powers go this season.
Yeah, I'm interested to know, you know, what's going to happen with her as well. So.
Yeah, you know, she's been with normal family over the summer, so.
Yeah, well, I'm upset that they took it, what, 3-4 episodes to bring her back, but whatever. Let it go.
Yeah. Hopefully this means that she has a juicy storyline in store. Because, I mean, they did her good last season. You know, she got to do a little bit more. She showed a little bit more of her power, but I still kind of feel like her character should be more on the show.
All right.
So maybe they'll elevate, you know, Bonnie's character and have her do something really, really great. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think she needs to be more than what she is so far on the show.
Mm, yeah. Because right now all she's doing is coming to save the ass of Jeremy and Elena. And, like, yeah. You know, I don't, no one wants to be that friend that just comes to bail people out and not have their own story. So.
But at least she's not a terror.
There's that girl.
She's still an interesting character. She's not one of those characters where we're like, okay, can you kill her off already? You know, it's not to that point, which is good.
Yeah.
And I can't really say that there have been many of those characters on Vampire Diaries that I've just been like, okay, can you please just kill them off already? It's like, when you want a character to die on Vampire Diaries, it's because they're, like, so ridiculously evil or they're causing too much havoc that you're just like, okay, you know what? You're causing too much trouble. It's like a normal, okay, can you kill the bad guy type thing. It's not a, okay, this character is boring me. I'm tired. Let's be done with it. So that's a testament to the writers. They at least keep, you know, like I said, they keep their characters interesting.
They do. So. And I'm so glad they're not using the diary anymore.
Oh, no,
there was a diary. Stefan had a diary. Elena was reading from the diary.
A little bit of it. So that part was at least, it was good. They're not focusing on it as much.
Right. It's not cheesy. That was more of a historical account. So I appreciated that more than the dear diary. I'm in love.
Yeah.
No, I hate that. But, well, we'll see what's going on with the rest of the season. I think I'm going to like this particular season of Vampire Diaries more than I like this season of True Blood. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, it's Vampire Diaries convention here in Atlanta in a couple of weeks.
Woo.
And as of right now, I'm not going to be able to go. And I'm so bummed about it because they've got a really, really great guest list. For this convention, they've got, I think, 11 of the actors.
Sweet, who?
Showing up. As opposed to actor names, I'm just going to name characters because it's quicker. Damon, Elena, Bonnie, Jeremy, Klaus, Elijah, Lexi just got added.
Nice.
Luca.
Oh.
Maddox, who was Klaus's Wiccan, and there's one two more people, Vicky and Anna.
Okay,
so they've got a really, really, really good.
Well, I hope something happens to where you get a chance to go. You luck out somehow.
I need to hit the lottery. I need to hit the lottery. That's really all it is. I need to hit the lottery.
Okay, so next up, we're going to talk about Supernatural and what's going on with that.
Oh, can I say I'm just so in love with Jared? I'm so in love with Sammy's faces in this one.
I'm still annoyed with Lucifer and the wall. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the hallucinations. I want, like, I don't know what they do with his character if they took that away, but I'm ready for it to end.
I'm going to say that's probably something that's going to draw out. I'm thinking, now, you know, I don't do any spoilers on Supernatural, sure. So it's like all the fan sites that have posted information, well, I don't read any of that, so I'm basically just going strictly off of the, you know, watching the show. And it looks like the way that they're doing it, they're going to have him break down bit by bit.
Yeah, but enough is enough.
I know, but, you know, at the same time, I kind of like the pace that they're doing it, because they're also starting to give us back classic Supernatural in the midst of all that. You know, fighting, of course, they've got the Leviathans that they're fighting, but also they went back to this, I can't even think of what the name of it is now, but I know it's the Japanese being, Jewel State was the
Right.
You know, so, you know, the fact that they're going back to, like, classic hunts for, you know, specific things. I like how they're putting that back in, but
yeah, I do appreciate that.
The Lucifer thing is, they can drag that out as far as I'm concerned, because that first episode where he just kept popping up in places and, you know, Sam was being jerked to the ceiling. Oh no, that's too horror movie-ish for me, and I don't those first couple of episodes, especially, okay, Castiel as God.
Oh yes.
I was curled up in the dark on my couch under a blanket with my blanket covering my face, like, what is he going to do next? It was so creepy to see him like that, but at the same time, it's like, wow, he's awesome. But it was creepy.
So is he, like, really, really dead, or what's going on?
I hope not. I don't know. I know that he's no longer a series regular, but I don't know what that means, because, again, I don't do the spoilers. So I don't know if he only did those couple of episodes or if he did some more episodes. I have no clue. And I don't want to know, because if he comes back, I want to be surprised. Kind of like, you know, Friday's episode. Okay, I'm thinking we're going to be missing Bobby for a couple of episodes. And all of a sudden he pops up at the beginning. I'm like, yay, he's
in a suit.
Yes. Well, you know, Bobby cleans up kind of nice.
Now he does.
He cleans up nice, so he pops in, and Dean is like, Bobby, you're alive? He was like, of course I am. Like, who's going to kill me? And I love that about him. He's like, yeah, did you really think they were going to get me? Yeah, right, whatever. You know, so I kind of like them going back to the classic things. And, you know, I like seeing Teenage Sam again. He looks different, but, you know, It was nice seeing him, and, you know, kind of going back to the past like they used to do with some of the older Supernatural episodes, and kind of hear them referencing John and the difficult relationship he had with Sam, and, you know, Sam's whole desire to not be what he is, and, you know, just how I guess ironic it is that now he's, you know, he's a crackpot. You know, he's seeing visions. You know, the devil is sitting on his knee, literally. So it's, you know, It's kind of interesting the way that they've started out this season, but I do want to see those Leviathans. Yeah, all those teeth and the two.
I enjoy them because they are like the classic demons, just harder to kill. And I have to admit that I do like the little monster hunt of the week. So that's pretty cool. I'm going to try to get over my hatred of what's going on with Sam. But because if they do devolve him to, like, maybe a Sam without a conscience again, I like that Sam. He was interesting, and he was scary, and he was sexy, and he paid for hookers, and it was just interesting to see that. And now he's
a puppy face with that Sam. Did you see the look on his face when Lucifer was sitting in Bobby's house and Sam was just looking over, and Dean was like, are you seeing him now? And he looks at Dean and he gives him this nod like he's 4 years old. It was so cute.
Yeah, it's cute, but he's a grown man. So,
but he's a grown man that's been to hell and back, literally.
Literally. But Dean has too. So, I know, you know.
Yeah, but, no, Dean had a slightly different experience. You know, Sam was locked in the box with Michael and Lucifer. So, you know, I mean, look, and they've even made references. You know, basically, Sam was Lucifer's bitch in the box.
Yeah, but Dean was somebody's bitch, too, because he was getting tortured and had to torture people.
He was getting tortured, but no, they've made, like, maybe it's just me, they've made, like, sexual references in regards to Sam.
Okay, that totally went on over my head, and now I'm disturbed. Yeah, I don't want to think about that.
One of the first things Lucifer said to Sam was, "Hi, Sam, Miss Spooning," or something like that.
Well, I thought that was just, you know, an expression, not that they actually spooned. And you know what? I don't want to think about that, Hanako. It's gross to me. I don't want to think about it. Gross.
That's something for the fan fiction set.
Yes, I don't want to think about any slash right now. Thank you.
Yeah,
I like seeing Mark Pellegrino. I really love seeing him. So I'm glad he's there, but he's just like, pop up, boo. Oh. I'm like, dude, yeah, what are you doing?
It's great seeing him because I get to see him in two of my favorite shows now because he's also on Being Human.
Shut your mouth. What?
Yeah, see, I told you you need to watch the show.
I have so many shows that I'm watching right now, and I'm doing school and work. I said I was going to watch it. I already admitted to say, you know what? It's been on two seasons. I'm going to do it. So I'm already in the happy zone of yes. But
okay, well, I'll tell you this.
Give me a second.
The U.S. version, the second season debuts January 16th.
Right. So there's no new episodes. I thought for some reason they were airing new ones.
Probably the British version, because you know there's two versions of the show.
Yeah, I know, but I don't watch BBC America until, you know, it's time for Doctor Who, and I don't know, for some reason I'm seeing commercials on Sci-Fi. Maybe I'm not, and I'm imagining things, whatever.
Maybe they're doing replays, you know, I don't have like actual TV anymore, so I don't know, but I think maybe they're doing replays, because a friend of mine told me, that he had been seeing commercials for it. So.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I'm not entirely crazy.
No, maybe they're just doing repeats. You know, I guess maybe just getting ready for the next season. Just before January. But yeah, Mark Pellegrino is one of the stars of that show as well. And he's evil.
Oh!
But he starts out as kind of diplomatically evil. You know, he's that undercover evil. He's like talking to you like he's your best friend, and all the while he's stabbing you in the back. He's actually on the show. He's Aiden's maker. He's a vampire, and he's Aiden's maker. He's the person who converted Aiden. So it's really interesting. He's like deliciously evil in that, but isn't he in everything?
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, so, yes, I don't see it. Okay, I see it now.
Yeah. Yeah, so if
I was on IMDb and I was like, where is it? I don't see it in his credits, but now I see it. Mm-hmm. I love that guy's face. I don't know what it is about him, but I love me some Mark Pellegrino.
Yes, well, you definitely need to check him out there and just, you know, let him have his fun with Sam for a moment, because it keeps him on the show. So, hey, what's wrong with that?
Okay, fine. I just wanted something a little bit more meaty and interesting, like, you know, bringing back Daddy Winchester or something. Yeah, I'm still on it. Yes, I'm still.
You know, I really do want to see that, too. And I guess now it'll be kind of interesting to see how they would relate to John. Because over the last 4 years or so, Bobby has pretty much been the father figure for them. And Bobby is a lot different from the way John is as far as hunting and his attitude towards the boys. I mean, I'm not doubting that John Winchester loved his kids, but just his way of raising them, he was very militant.
Yeah.
And less caring, you know, so I think... It'll be interesting to see how they would react to him now, you know, even though they would pretty much be reacting to his spirit. And, you know, the last time that they saw him, he helped them, you know, basically kill the devil or kill the yellow-eyed demon. But
I miss him.
Who, the yellow-eyed demon?
Yeah, I miss him.
He was fun. He was fun. He was evil. He was an evil bastard, but he was fun.
Yeah.
But... yeah, so that it would be interesting to see to see John Winchester come back. But you know, I Jeffrey Dean Morgan is doing all these movies now.
He ain't doing crap. What is he doing? Is he doing something? I need to look. I at least want Samuel back or something. Mitch Pileggi.
Yeah, he actually has a movie coming out with Sam Worthington, I think.
Who?
Like in the next couple of months. Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Shut your mouth.
I've been hearing some buzz about it, but I actually have not been on the internet a lot lately. You know, I have that whole school thing going on too.
Yeah, me too. That's why I haven't watched Being Human. So
yeah, I think he's got a movie coming out soon, really soon.
So I know he's been in Jonah Hex, but uncredited. The Resident, Texas Killing Fields, The Courier, Red Dawn. Okay, that's nice. He's been in a TV series called Magic City. I've never heard of that. It's filming right now, so it's going to be coming out. So he is doing TV, so he could go back and holler at the boys. But, you know, at this point, there's really no point to bringing him back because the show's moved on without him. But you know how I am. I want to see Daddy Winchester on my Supernatural, and I want to see Ed Quinn on my Eureka, and it's just not happening. Yeah, so.
It'll be okay. But, you know, I want to see Chuck again. I still think he's God. Even though Cassiella's God was pretty damn, you know, that was pretty good.
And it was so tragic because it was just like, you know, God is not doing anything, so I'm going to be God. Screw it. And it was just so heartfelt, and it, you know, it breaks your heart. You know he's going to go down. And he went too far.
Yeah, he did. And then he just melted in some water. And, Dean picked up that raincoat. It was like having a funeral for him. Oh.
See, it's not, they're moving on too fast, and it's just not making me happy because I miss Castiel, so.
Yeah, I don't think they've forgotten Castiel. I think they've got bigger fish to fry right now.
Yeah, true.
You know, with these demons with teeth coming out of their head and two tongues and looking like they need to be in an MIB movie. Castiel can kind of wait.
So, yeah, I guess he can.
I honestly don't think we've seen the last of Cass.
I hope so. I mean, I hope not. Whatever. I want him back. Yeah. So any predictions? Because I know we both don't do spoilers because we don't have time for it. So any predictions? You know what?
I don't have any predictions at all. I just hope that this whole Leviathan storyline wraps up a little bit better than the whole mother of all thing.
Oh,
because
that was terrible.
That was kind of to me, it was. It just wasn't there was not the big buildup that I anticipated as far as that whole evil character. You know, it was just kind of, okay, she wreaked havoc in a couple of episodes. And then, you know, she did the one episode where she was turning into everybody. She turned into Mary Winchester and
a diner, and they just killed her, and it was easy. Yeah, and that was that. There was no big showdown.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping for something a little bit more explosive with these Leviathans.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, we know, we don't have an apocalypse anymore, right? Or do we?
No, as far as I know, they prevented the apocalypse, but I don't know. I mean, you got Leviathans now, so I don't know. I really don't know what to expect, and I'm kind of keeping it that way. Like, I want to be totally surprised.
I hear you. Me too. So what you doing? Are you still blogging? Give us some links of where we can find some of your stuff.
You know, my blog is still up. I have not updated since Dragon Con, and there's even still Dragon Con videos I need to put up, but you know,
trust me, I haven't updated mine either.
I've just kind of, I guess you could say I've taken a break on everything, but I said maybe probably towards the end of the month, I'm going to start picking it back up on a regular basis. So Confessions of a Grown-Up Fangirl is still there. I'm still the sci-fi TV and movies examiner for examiner.com, the Atlanta area. So I just got to get back into the swing of things. And, you know, like I said, this whole real life thing, it sucks. So
sucks bad.
alternative universe stuff is just I prefer it more, but unfortunately for me right now, fangirling does not pay the bills. So yeah.
So tell me, just update me on some Potter stuff. I still can't get into Potter more. I still haven't gotten my email.
I honestly don't know what's going on with that. I think they postponed the public being able to get in because there's been so many glitches and, you know, system shutdowns or server shutdowns or whatever. But it's been fun getting on Pottermore, just reading some of the tidbits and some of the notes from J.K. Rowling.
What's the biggest thing that you've seen so far? Like, what's the most exciting thing?
The backstory on Minerva McGonagall. It's great. I will email it to you if you want me to. Ooh. It's great. I mean, literally, she went very in-depth with this character from her childhood, well, actually from her parents' marriage to her childhood as a half-breed or half, you know, she's a half muggle, half witch.
That's not like Hermione, because Hermione is full muggle.
Yes.
Okay.
Hermione is muggle. Okay. Yes. So, it's kind of different because you get to see, you know, her years at Hogwarts, what she did after Hogwarts, how she came to start teaching at Hogwarts. And I mean, it was just all this background story about her that, you know, we don't get to see in the books. And it's just really reading this. It's like you really feel like you're reading about somebody who actually existed. So that story was great. I can't wait to see stories on other characters. She did go into a little bit of background about how Vernon and Petunia Dursley met. So that was kind of interesting. But, you know, I'm waiting to see some of the other stuff. Right now, Sorcerer's Stone is the only book that's up on the site. So you're only going to get information and tidbits from the Sorcerer's Stone. And I think Chamber of Secrets is supposed to go on the site in February. So I'm sure there'll be more.
She's going to stretch it out.
Oh. Yes. But I mean, if you think about it, it's a brilliant way to keep people interested in coming back.
Yeah, you know,
they know they're going to get more stuff. But what else is going on? DVD is coming out next month.
So the final movie?
Yes. I believe the release date is November 11th.
Okay.
And of course, they're doing the 8-disc box set, but they're also going to come out with a more comprehensive set sometime next year, I think April. So that's the one that's, I guess, going to have like all the goodies, all the extras, all the collector stuff. So I think I will be waiting until then to, you know, I got to put my hundreds of dollars aside.
Right. That's going to be expensive.
I think the cost, they said something about, it's like close to $162, so it's not as bad as I thought it would be.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not quite sure what extras. I would really, really love it. And if anybody from Warner Brothers is listening to this, I would really, really, really love to have the extended versions of all the movies in that box set. I'm just saying. You know, they gave it to us in the Ultimate Editions for the first two movies, and then for some reason they stopped. Hmm. So it's like, you know, I wanted to collect these Ultimate Editions, and now I have no reason to collect them because I already have the other movies on DVD. Why would I collect them if, you know, if all you're doing is giving me the same movie? Granted, they have other good extras on there, and I may still go ahead and get them just for that, but I really want the extended cuts of the movies, like the ones that we see on ABC Family when they do Harry Potter Weekend. You know, nice. They have full extended cuts of the movie with all the deleted scenes added in.
Oh.
So that's what I want. That's what most of the like diehard fans want. And I don't understand why they're not giving it to us. So I don't know. Again, Warner Brothers, if you're listening, please give us the extended cuts. We will never say anything else bad about you.
Oh God. Well, I guess I'm looking forward to that as well. So you're not going to go Blu-ray. You're just going to go DVD.
Oh yeah. I'm definitely doing Blu-ray. Especially I have a Blu-ray player now. And Deathly Hallows Part 1 was the very first Blu-ray I had.
Of course.
My friend Keith, who is, he's actually now a senior staff member with MuggleNet. He sent that to me for, was it my birthday? I think it was that I got that DVD. So I sat here and played with it all summer long because it has the, what do they call it? The maximum movie mode. And it's got all the direct, you know, the director and actor's commentary in between the scenes. And you get to find, you get to see the behind the scenes stuff. And it's just 3 hours sitting in front of my TV with nothing but Harry Potter, Harry Potter stuff. I was in heaven.
Oh, so, God.
Blu-ray DVD is definitely the way for me to go with, especially with Harry Potter. So,
yeah,
but I think I'll be waiting for that big comprehensive set next year. But of course, I will be buying, you know, part two just on DVD because I have to have it.
Yeah, so yeah. They know how you guys are, so that's why they're trying to get as much money out of you as possible.
Exactly.
They're treating you like Star Wars fans.
Yes, but, you know, but I saw a comment on Daryl's page that the Star Wars Blu-rays, he was not pleased with them because apparently they changed some stuff.
Dude, nobody's ever pleased with Star Wars. Just don't listen to it and just move on. Because we're never going to be happy because Luke's keep changing stuff. That's our relationship, so.
Okay.
Nobody's ever happy with those. But guys, that is our show. We'd like to thank Hanako for coming out and talking with me.
No problem. It's fun as always.
All right. We love your feedback. Give us a call, 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. Send us a tweet at scifipartyline. Send us a message on facebook.com/scifipartyline. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
You were made to be ruled. In the end, it will be every man for himself.
What do?
We get ready.
There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people. So when we needed them, they could fight the battles that we never could.
Gentlemen,
what are you prepared to do?
No offense, but I don't play well with others.
Big man in a suit of armor. Take that away, what are you?
A genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn sure we'll avenge it.
Dr. Banner, your work is unparalleled, and I'm a huge fan of the way you lose control and turn into an enormous green rage monster.
Thanks.
End of line.